This episode is brought to you by the Old Dominion Athletic Foundation. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Become a member today.
Yes, welcome Monarch fans to the Hudson Homers podcast. Got CB and Coach Finney here with me as always. Coming off of a 1-2 week against a tough Charlotte team on Saturday and Sunday for sure. CB, I know you're a little under the weather, but how you feeling?
Under the weather, yeah, we're making it. We're getting better than I probably felt out there freezing on Saturday and Sunday.
Man, I hope you get better, CB. This week it's warming up, so hopefully that'll help.
Yeah, we're looking pretty solid for this week.
Sunday was crazy because we got the ballpark. I think I got out there about 8:30. We stretched at 10 and had BP, and I was sweating. It was beautiful out. By the time 60s. I walked back out for game time, the wind had turned around and the temperature was dropping, you know, and it ended up just being cold as heck, you know, for most of that game with that north wind blowing. So it was a strange day for sure.
But my wife was getting
better weather coming.
Yeah, my wife was getting ready to unload on me because I came home and my face was red. And I was like, look, I was in no way looking at the sun. And then I realized I was looking straight into the wind behind home plate from right center the whole time. I looked like I'd been at the beach.
Yeah, it was a strange day. The wind was definitely, you know, played a factor in the game for sure on Sunday, without a doubt. Knocking some balls down. I think it cost Mac a home run for sure. I mean, he got all of that ball, man. It was just like had a parachute on it.
It looked like it had a drag chute just slowing it down. But the fans showed up well on Saturday and Sunday. I think it was much more pleasant to be in those outfield stands than it was to be where we were standing at least on Sunday anyway.
Yeah, you got some of the more of the sun for sure. Yeah, because the sun was nice. It was just the wind was cold, so.
Yeah.
Well, we started off with you know, with a midweek win on Wednesday at Norfolk State. I thought, you know, we took advantage of a bunch of walks and, you know, scored a bunch of runs. We were able to pitch pretty well, and it was good to get some of those guys some work. You know, I'm always leery about games like that. You know, before you play good people, they don't help a lot. In terms of the pitching you're seeing, you know, from that standpoint. And so it's a win, but I you know, it doesn't prepare you to play a good team like we were facing in Charlotte on the weekend. And having said that, I thought, you know, we had some guys that needed to get out there and get some innings in. And Sheehy, Hubble, you know, guys that hadn't had a ton of success yet this year. Chris Cavalcante, Maddox Jack, they all threw the ball well at two strikes. And we played pretty good defense. So not a, you know, great surface to play. It was kind of wet and yucky out there, but we played a solid game. And then, you know, we get ready to play on Friday, and we were hoping that the outfield would dry out. We've had so much water, so much. It's the wettest February I can remember in 15 years here. Just, you know, here it gets to the point where the water just has no place to go because we're so low. And that's kind of what happened. And then we're, you know, putting the tarp on the infield to save that and then dumping it in the outfield, just adding to it. And so it just became a point where we walked out there and just felt like it wasn't going to be safe. So, you know, I did not want to play a doubleheader for the third week. You know, I think it cost us a couple players last week being ready to play. And just, you know, it's a lot. And so we just decided to play single game Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, the field was better, still wet in the outfield, but not as bad. I don't think it really affected a ton of the game. So that was better. And look, man, Saturday, they just whipped us. Like, you know, we got behind early, and, you know, sometimes when that happens and you got another game or two to play, it's time to get some of them young guys their innings. And in college baseball, that's a lot of times when those young guys get them, when the game's a little bit out of one way or the other. And that's what happened. And so some guys, you know, didn't throw as well. But we had, you know, if I would have taken one positive away from Saturday, it would have been Ben Tanton. I thought he
hit
the ball really well. It was, you know, up in the low 90s, and the breaking ball was good. And that's the guy that we recruited. You know, he's had underwater going through the fall. He's an interesting kid because, you know, he broke his elbow in high school. Which can't be good for a pitcher, I would think. That's probably frowned upon in Daniel, right? And, you know, he's got a screw in there, and but he, you know, obviously overcame it and had a really good high school career, and had just been a little, had been a little bit tender in the fall, we had to shut him down, and he's kind of taking a little bit of time getting back, but ball started to come out of his hand the right way, and I think our pitching coaching staff have done a real good job because his breaking ball, has gotten progressively better, the shape of it. I thought Saturday was the best that's looked since he's been here. So that's a guy that I think as we move forward, we'll be able to add into that bullpen mix.
I like to give Ben a hard time because, you know, when I share my pictures of the games, he is like the most popular guy on the planet. Like it's like 50 different people sharing pictures of him. So like, I'm like, who are you, Prom King? What's going on here? He's like, I'm just a guy.
He's a great kid. And
he's a great kid. He is. As I told him that.
He's kind of quiet around us. Yeah. And, you know, but he has good energy and goes about his business the right way. So we think he's got a chance to have a bright future. So that was good. And I thought Cole Lanford threw the ball pretty good for us, too, out of the pen. So, you know, seven-inning jobs. I tell the guys, man, you know, you lose by one or you lose by 10, you got to learn from it. We didn't compete enough. We got behind too much. And we just you know, got beat up. And so tomorrow you get to practice being brave, and let's see what you're made of. And so, you know, we come out Sunday, get behind 7-0 again. Hell of a speed, but I really, you know, thought the bullpen did a good job on Sunday of holding them down. You know, the inning they got the six, man, we didn't make too many mistakes. I mean, we threw a double play ball low. We should have still got – we'd get that double play right out of that inning with two runs. And, you know, Johnson gets the comebacker, and he throws it kind of at Mav's knees. And we work on these things, but obviously not enough, because if they're making mistakes on it, then I'm always of the belief that we haven't drilled it enough. So we're going to work on that some more tomorrow. But, you know, you got to just slow down there and get one out when it's a bad beat. Get the out and not try to force the double play. And I think that's kind of what happened. And then we threw a cutoff low, and it bounced, ricocheted off Mav again and allowed them to score another run. So that inning kind of blew up on us. The guys didn't quit. They fought back, you know, got a couple innings of twos. We had the tying run, you know, in scoring position a bunch of times and just couldn't get that extra big knock. You know, we had a chance to get a run and, you know, sometimes when guys aren't going good, you know, this is kind of the game within the game. You're looking as a coach out there, and that ball that Jack hit was a pretty shallow fly ball, but Jay hadn't had a hit or made hard contact in about 2 weeks. And I was like, you might as well force him to make a bad throw. And he kind of did throw it up the line, and the guy just barely got Mac at the plate. It was a close play. Thought it was a chance we needed to take right there, so it just didn't work out for us. But overall, you know, TJ swung it back good, late swung it back good, but Matt swinging it pretty good. It was a pretty wide strike zone, I thought. From the outside corner to the righties, going back and looking at the film today. He was consistent calling it out there, but, you know, it's just not – those balls aren't on the plate, and, like, they should be right. Thought he got a little bit, you know, they were barking at him a little bit. Thought he got a little bit intimidated maybe by their guys. Shouldn't happen as well. So, you know, so, I mean, unfortunate, you know, we had a chance to get out of that same inning earlier, you know, and just couldn't make them. You know, they got a couple two-strike hits again. We got to make better pitches with two strikes. I thought on Saturday they had 7 or 8 hits with two strikes and a lot. So things we'll learn from. They were, you know, there were we hadn't really faced what I would say is a really good hitting team yet. And I think they're a pretty good offensive team. And they made us pay for our mistakes on the mound, certainly.
Yeah.
You learn from it, you grow from it, and keep moving on. You know, it's hurt us a little bit not having Scotty in the lineup. I think we'll get him back Wednesday, at least by Friday. He just busted that bursa sack in his knee. If you've ever done that, then anybody that's ever done it knows it hurts like heck. It's not something that is debilitating for a long period of time. You've got to get the swelling down and the bruising down. And
yeah, he showed us. It's pretty gross. He got a big puffy knee.
Way up, and they look awful. But his BP is not affecting his swing. So, you know, I think, you know, at worst we could get him in maybe the DH Wednesday. But we need him back.
Yeah, I saw you were looking to pinch hit him there toward the end if you got to that spot. Hit,
yeah, he was going to hit for Jay next if Jack you know, somehow got on. So, and, you know, we're, for the most part, we've got some guys having good at-bats. I think we're going to be okay there. Obviously, you know, third base right now, we're not getting any production out of that. So we may have to try a few new things there. And then, you know, as I mentioned, we've got a, you know, our two starting pitchers have been throwing the ball pretty well. And they just didn't have a good weekend. So they'll bounce back from it. And we've got a really good UConn team coming in here this weekend. You know, we go to VCU first on Wednesday. That's always a hard fought game. Last game probably ever at the Diamond.
Probably.
We can hope. and we got to play at 1:30 because they took all the lights and took them over to the, to the new park. So
then now they might not let the squirrels play in the new park either. So who knows what's going on in Richmond?
They're going on between the city. Yeah, so they got a brand new ballpark that no one's going to play in.
It's going to empty, I guess. I don't know what they're playing.
Par for the course up here. I feel like there's just that three-way battle constantly between whatever private entity, VCU, and the city, and it's just it always turns into a mess. But
well, I just wonder what VCU is going to do. I mean, because the Diamond is getting torn down, isn't it, Gary?
Yes. Yeah. End of this spring, it's going to be torn down. I know Henrico just approved Henrico County building a new ballpark that VCU might be able to use if they put that up. There's some other options, but I think it gets worked out. I don't certainly know all the details, but it seems like the sale of Sports Backers Stadium is the real problem here. So if they get that sold, I think everything settles in. So hopefully they're there next year for their sake.
Why are they selling that? Where are they going to play soccer?
They have like an athletics village now on campus that's going to let them host soccer and all the other things they're playing at Sports Backers as part of like their master plan. So it's a mess. The ballpark looks amazing, though. You'll see it. I mean,
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
It's beautiful.
Well, we were hoping to play in it, but that's not going to happen. So.
Yeah.
So we'll get up there for an early game and get home earlier. That's not a terrible thing. The weather's going to be good.
Yeah. I think we're both going to be there.
And then warming up into the 70s through the weekend, man. So maybe we get a taste of early spring. We're certainly due for it.
Yeah.
After all these, it'd be nice to have a 60s and 70s week. That'd be all right. Yeah.
Stop making typos on my Hudson Homer's tweets because my fingers are frozen solid. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Honestly. Make me look like
these first 10 games. You know, we talk about trying to be 7-3 in 10 game stretches, and we ended up 6-4. And you know, we deserve to be 6-4. I think certainly our 6 wins we played pretty well, and the 4 losses we haven't. So it's still the same rhetoric. I mean, when you play well, you're going to have a good chance to win, and that's a good thing. And we got a little bit of time. We're still working some things out. I think some of the pitching roles are starting to come around. You know, I thought Johnson Park and Davis all threw the ball well yesterday for us.
How cool to see Kellen go from the guy a couple of years ago who was like the one out guy to now you're throwing him out there 2-3 innings and like he's just nailing the door. I mean, that's awesome to see.
Yeah.
From where he's starting,
we were talking about cutting him after we redshirted him as a freshman.
Yeah. I'm sure.
He was such a great kid, and we decided to keep him around because of that. And he developed that was the year he developed that gyro, you know, alien pitch he throws that no one seems to be able to hit. And it, so I tell guys all the time, you know, here's a right-handed guy throws 86, 88, you know, he might pop a 90 now and then, but he stopped worrying about how hard I throw, and he found a bullet to put in his gun that he can fire. Jason Hardline was like that. He chased velocity for 2 years, went to the Florida baseball ranch, all drive line, all this stuff. And then he finally figured out that's not it. But he developed a cut fastball that he could throw all the time. And, you know, it's like you got to have a thing. And, you know, Kellen certainly developed a thing. And so that's been really fun to watch. And
it's also a good lesson, just don't be a dick. Be a good guy. Like, honestly.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, the New Zealand All Blacks have that sign in their locker room that says no dickheads.
And, yeah,
he's such a cool kid. You know, he's in grad school now, and he's working on his teaching degree. And he's just tough. He's just a tough Pennsylvania kid, man. He's blue collar, and he really cares about ODU baseball. So nice to have him out there. And
he was fired up.
Feelings like that. Yeah, yeah.
He's fired up coming off the mound, but both innings that he finished there. I mean, getting the guys jacked up. And you saw it show up in the batter's box too, man. It's another void he's kind of filling from last year, like just stepping up in that leadership role.
Yep, without a doubt, without a doubt. So it that's been good, you know. And I think, you know, the two guys that continue, the three guys that continue to lead us right now offensively are Layton, Aiken, and Stallings. You know, those guys seem to be kind of right in the middle of everything we're doing. So I think Will's been a little bit banged up. He twisted his ankle on one of them balls. He's just been nicked a little bit, but I think we'll Wednesday we're gonna play around with putting TJ in the leadoff spot, putting Will in the two hole late in the three. And Will does hit the ball the right side a lot, and he's pretty good at it. And so you can play some offense with him. He's a pretty good bunter, and TJ's been doing a good job, you know, getting some stolen bases and things like that. You know, our left-handed, you know, Nick Felton hasn't gotten it going yet. I still think there's a really good player in there. He's just going through the
thing. Like he's like just not quite, right? Like it's
not his BP. If you come watch his BP now, it's really good. He just hasn't taken that batting practice swing into the game yet. He gets a little jumpy and you just got to relax. The more you play, that'll happen.
Yeah.
We're going to probably get Cole McKenna in there, you know, this week too, because I think he's a, you know, he's another kid who can really run. He's a tough kid. He's a good athlete, and he can move around the field a little bit. So
he seems really calm too. He seems like the moment's not too big for him when he gets in there. You know?
I think you're right. Yeah. I think he's Cole's an interesting cat. He's very competitive. Now the moment's not going to get him. You know, he'll forget a sign here and there. That's okay. We'll take that, right, if you're tough.
Yeah.
And I think he's a pretty tough kid. So getting Scotty back will help, obviously. I thought the Dallas swung the bat pretty well for us yesterday. We got to get him back in there, and in particular against lefties. So we got, you know, we got a ways to go, certainly, but it's early, and I think we're, you know, we're taking our licks some, and we're learning from it, and I think we'll be better for it. I think playing those games against those teams always make you better if you go about your business the right way and learn from your mistakes and, you know, just are tough-minded about it.
I want to ask you about I'm sorry, Gary, I'd had this question for a while. I want to ask you about, you know, you have the game. We had a few of those. It's like the game on Sunday was a good example where the strike zone is, like I said, it's probably a lot wider than it should be. There's a lot of balls that are balls being called strikes. Do you guys have conversations with your hitters that like, look, you're right, it's a ball, but you're not right today. And you sitting there believing it's a ball and not swinging at it is not helping us do anything today. You know, you got to get out and compete.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it's hard because what happens then is you start expanding the strike zone like that. And it becomes a habit, and then you start, and then the next guy's not calling, you're swinging a bunch of balls. And, you know, I think we looked at the TrackMan report, and he called 11 on that same side, 11 pitches, mm-hmm. strikes that weren't in the strike zone. Yeah. And most of them were fastballs. That's tough. Now,
it shouldn't be hard to track, right?
No.
In any particular day, old school, we'd be like, all right, well, I'm going to get up on the plate so I can cover that pitch. Yeah. And I'll just wear it if it's inside.
Right. And
I don't think we did that a good enough job of that yesterday. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's something else we're going to talk about tomorrow. There's a needle to thread there. You got to be careful because you don't want guys to start swinging out of the zone. And we've talked about trying to be better. I think we were taking the breaking balls out of the zone better, which you need to be able to do that. And you're going to take some – if you're good at that, I read a really neat quote. It said the best hitters – and this is counterintuitive to what everybody preaches, because everybody's like, oh, be tough, cover the plate, don't strike out looking. The best hitters strike out looking just as much as they do swinging, if not more. Because they don't expand the strike zone. And sometimes bad pitches get called strikes. And they don't think they're strikes. They're not swinging at them. And that's the game. There is something to be said for I got to choke up and get this ball in play as well. So what's your philosophy on that? You know, everybody's a little bit different. I think over the course of the season, if we can take those pitches, it'll bode well for us. You know, and it's frustrating when it happens. But we also took some called thirds right down the middle.
There were several of those.
Well, I mean, I was looking at it today with one of our guys in particular, man, and I'm like, that ball, the catcher didn't move as many. Set up down the middle, and he threw it down the middle. Yeah. You just took it. You're just playing defense up there. Why even bring it back? I think those are things that, you know, certainly. And that's just the hitter, man. Like, hitters don't do that. Like, hitters don't take pitches down the middle for strikes.
No.
They just don't. So that could be scary a little bit as a coach when you see one of your guys doing that. You're like, what in the world was going on in his brain in that batter's box? Like, not a lot of good stuff usually when that happens.
Yeah. It felt like Charlotte was almost started pitching to that once they knew, at least on righties, they were getting the outside strike. They would throw that fastball away, and then they would come inside with a slider or breaking ball so that, you know, a pitch you typically want to take that's going to be in on your hands no matter what. It seemed like they were doing that, and I think Max struck out on one of those or a couple other guys. So I feel like Charlotte was definitely playing with the umpire zone back there.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what you should do. I mean, if he's calling it out there, keep throwing it out there. I don't think we got as nearly as many – he did, according to the two reports. And so, you know, that's something that we got to talk about. Hey, when that guy's calling it out there, like, we need to throw it out there a little bit more. And then if he ain't calling for us, then we can get all in his, you know, his chops. I just told him when he warned me, I just said, just make the ball be over some of the play, some part of the play.
Yeah.
Like, those aren't strikes. So, you know, and then I think he'd been getting yelled at by their dugout. Well, he's getting yelled at by both dugouts, right? So,
yeah.
He's getting yelled at by a few people.
Yeah.
He probably couldn't hear the people in the stands, but I'm assuming they were yelling at him too.
Yeah.
He didn't have a good day, but it was a good college baseball game. I hate that we lost it. We had chances to win it. You know, we left a bunch of guys, you know, scoring position, and, you know, you got to cash some of those in to have a chance to win. So those are things that we got to certainly – we've been pretty good at it up to yesterday. We weren't good enough at it yesterday. So
yeah, you definitely have to feel better about the way they came back on Sunday after Saturday, just getting your doors blown off. And, you know, they didn't pack it in. They said, hey, let's fight.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. So that was a good sign, and hopefully we'll carry that into this week with us.
Yeah, and your 6-4 record, I mean, it could easily be 9-1 or 7-3 because three of those losses, you've had at least the tying run on base in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the 6-4, you know, could easily be much, much better, or honestly, could be worse too, I guess. But
yeah,
and I mean, it seems like y'all are in it, except for Saturday.
No doubt. We've been out of one game out of our first 10.
Bad.
Chance to win all the others. And the overall, not to take anything away from anybody we played, I would never do that, but the overall competition level is going to keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep improving as we do. So, you know, I mean, playing at B TCU, we've won a bunch at the Diamond, man. But we got to play well to do it. You know, they've been pitching pretty well, and looks like. And so, you know, we'll have to do a good job offensively. And then UConn's always a tough opponent. You know, they've played a heck of a schedule up till now.
Yeah.
And they dropped 2 out of 3 at Wilmington. But they're, you know, they got a couple lefty starters that are really good. So our righty hitters are going to have to, you know, be ready to help us in that game. So that'll be good. But it's a long journey, man. And, you know, it's just so funny every year. You look out there and you go through all the fall practice and all the spring scrimmages, and a month into the season, it's nothing like what you thought it was.
Yeah.
It is crazy how some guys go this way when the competition changes to other people, and some guys go the other way. Yeah. And it's just part of it, man. You can't learn it when it doesn't matter. You can get a feel for it, but I don't think you can actually know. And, you know, I think we're starting to figure some of that out now, you know, unless you got a bunch of guys back, you know. But I think our veteran players are playing like veterans, like you hope they would, and that's good to see. And I'm really proud of TJ, man. He's having super competitive at bats, hitting the ball all over the place. And, you know, I thought the kid made a heck of a catch on him on Saturday on that ball he hit far before the line. That was a great catch. And then he hit kind of the same ball yesterday, and it tipped off the guy's glove. And people are scoring people. Like, you can think that might – if you call that an error, then you never played baseball and you win.
Nah.
Because there ain't nothing about that play. He robbed him on Saturday. It was the same ball. That wind's blowing, you know, 15, 20 miles an hour out there. It's moving that ball 30 feet and knocking it down. And you got to – these guys aren't professional players. Like, you got to
give
them the benefit of the doubt when it's not a routine play. And that was
– Also, the home team. You got to give your home guy a hit. Yeah. Come on.
And you say, oh, he should have caught it, whatever. But I said, man, you go out there and let me shoot you about 10 of those balls in that win. If you catch 3 of them, we'll call it an error. And so – we got that change today. I thought that should have been a good. He hit the ball really hard. You know, he got robbed on Saturday. Like, give the kid a hit. You know? So they changed it. I don't tend to make a habit out of complaining about scoring things unless I think it's pretty clear. And you know, I thought that one was pretty clear.
Yeah. That wind has been hell on, I think, everyone in the stadium this year. Because, I mean, even going back to Quinnipiac, there were some drop-pop flies that they look like you're just, you know, can of corn going up in the air, and then you realize you had to run 100 feet to get back underneath it.
Yeah.
And especially those shallow pops to, you know, right field, and I feel like just in the left field, man, those have been brutal on these middle infielders this season.
Yeah, yeah. It's part of it here for sure. You got to learn how to play in the wind, and we take a lot of pop-ups, you know, to work on that, but that doesn't mean they're always going to get caught. You know, we try to spend a lot of time working on those balls. But that wind changes daily here, you know. I say, hey, the wind always blow like this. I said, the wind always blows.
Yes.
We don't know which way it's going to blow. If you don't like it, it'll change tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like just part of baseball at our ballpark.
Yeah, you got 4 games left here before we get into conference play, which is kind of crazy to think about already. You're at VCU, you got 3 with UConn, and you go down to East Carolina. You know, what if there's 1 or 2 things you're really looking to find out or figure out? Or is it 5, CB? Did I miss
that's
one?
5. That's, yeah.
It's 5, yeah. You can't count here. 5
you
games.
You got a lot of 5, Gary. You're not making that whole Dominion degree looking great right now.
No, between that and my misspelled tweets, I'm the worst advertisement for the university ever.
I'm an English major, and I can count to 5.
Well, what are 1 or 2 things you're kind of looking to figure out over this next, like, week and a half before we head down to Troy?
Well, I think it'll be – so we're thinking that the Sunday deal, pitching-wise, is looking like a piggyback between Sheehy and Hubble. Kind of treating those guys, you know, when you use the term piggyback, you're kind of treating those two guys as one person. And so I think what we're going to try to do here is, at least this week, is same thing we were going to do this weekend if we'd have had 3 games, is is use Sheehy and Hubble on Wednesday to get into the game. They'll throw two or three innings each, and then they'll come back and do the same thing on Sunday with 3 days rest. So then they'll probably get a week going into, you know, because the next game's Tuesday, and that's clearly, you know, not going to work. So that would be the first, you know, true midweek where not necessarily that probably be that one of those midweek staff type of things. But those guys, you know, seem to be our best two guys to have that option, and hopefully we can get them both lengthened out, and they give you a chance to get six innings between the two of them, or seven innings between the two of them, something like that. So that's kind of where we're sitting right now. So they got to go do it. You know, best life plan, because the kids still got to come make it happen to make it look like a good idea. And so we'll see. It'll start Wednesday.
Dream world, you get 4-4, right? I mean, that's the
That would be perfect. You know, and that's possible. We get lengthened out. I think Hub maybe three innings is most he's gone since he's been here. Mm-hmm. But you know, he was a starter in junior college, and he could do it. And it was good to see him throwing strikes last Wednesday.
Yeah,
with the trouble early throwing strikes, and so it was nice to see him get back to that. Hopefully, he'll do that again. I think we're not going to have Okonkwo this week or weekend. He's got a little bit of soreness in there. Nothing major, but he just probably needs a break. And so, you know, he'd be a guy that we wouldn't probably have for any of these next four games, but it opens up some opportunities for some other guys. And, you know, I'm excited, you know, Maddox Jack, I mean, the kid's got a
fantastic
arm, you know, coming off Tommy John surgery, he's just got to keep getting out there. So PGO can be a big help for us. And obviously putting Bailey back in the bullpen gives us another experienced guy. He was going to come in there for the, you know, 10th if we tied it yesterday. So he didn't get any burn. We'll get him out there probably for an inning for sure on Wednesday so he can get out there.
Awesome. Well, fans, if you do come to the VCU game on Wednesday in Richmond, bring your own food and drink. They will not have concessions open. So I told CB I'm going to get an old school picnic basket and just start handing out food at the gate or something.
It is free admission, though. That's nice for
folks. It's free to get in.
That is nice. Go to what's the barbecue place there? Is it Parker's? There used to be an old barbecue place down by the stadium. I can't think of the name of it now.
I think it was Ray's Barbecue. I think it's a Walmart now.
Yeah. Walmart now.
Yeah,
it's the dirty bus station across the street. That was the.
You all will not recognize it. Like, they've already started developing that. There's a Canes over there, a Starbucks. Yeah. There's all kinds. There's high rise condos. It's wild. The Greyhound station's closed. I can't remember if it's been torn down or not, but
they'll make it condos. It'll be somebody's house. It'll be where a homeless guy used to urinate.
Yes, probably so.
They got a condo down the street that was my middle school. There are people that live in the same room where I used to get picked on. So that's which has got to be weird energy for your home to be where kids used to have their horrible hormonal situations. But that's me.
Well, there's the old cookie factory down the road that people live in.
We hope the Richmond fans will come out Wednesday. You know, good chance for them to see us there. And then we got great weather this weekend, so everybody come out.
Yeah.
They are having the first of four or five of the concert series they're having during batting practice out there in the back. They're calling it the left field concert series or something. Probably cooler than that. But they're going to have a band that plays out there for an hour and 15 minutes before game time, and then they get done 15 minutes before game time back there. And I think it's free with a ticket. So, you know.
That's going to be an awesome day for it then.
Yeah, neat for some of the people. So we'll see how it goes. It sounds kind of cool to me. I don't know any of the band names. Probably local bands or something like that.
Really?
People enjoy it on a nice day, man. Why not come get a beer and a burger and hang out and then watch some baseball?
Yeah, there should be some good baseball going on this weekend too with UConn in town. They had a little bit of a rough start to their season. They went 0-4 in a tournament out in Arizona, but took 3 out of 4 from Arizona, who was ranked. They've been pretty solid since, so.
Well,
should see some great baseball.
They always play a great schedule early. They'll be, you know, certainly battle tested, and they've seen a bunch of good arms. And I think they'll be, you know, up to this point, they'll be the best team we've played. So the competition is going up, and that's good, getting us ready for, you know, the Sun Belt Conference play.
VCU's been good this season too. They played a brutal schedule.
Yeah, they played a tough schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, they swept Holy Cross, but then they went and played, you know, Illinois, and they played Coastal. They actually got a win over Illinois. UNC, then they took UVA to extra innings on Saturday night. They had a couple of close games. They should have won that game. Yes.
Saturday game, they should have won. The first baseman broke for a ball he shouldn't have broke for, and then had trouble getting back to the bag, and they threw it in the dirt, and the tying run scored from third, and the winning run scored from second. They just played it. Yeah, they just misplayed it. I think all three of those games were pretty low scoring.
Yeah, two runs, one run, two runs. Yeah.
So it'll be good. We'll see some more good arms, and it'll be fun to get to Richmond. You know, play at the diamond one last time.
Yeah, take your piece of cinder block with you on the way out because it'll be rubble here by the summer.
Yeah, for sure. So. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Well, hold on, Finny. We got one more announcement that might be the most important thing that happened this entire week, sir. I'm going to let you take it away here, but you sent me a picture. I got to throw it out.
Yeah, please do.
So you became a grandfather this week, correct?
I did, yeah. Sterling Royce Finwood was born at 2:30 in the morning. I think it was Tuesday, or what was the 25th?
That was Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right, because we had a game. So it was early in the morning, so I thought it was still – when I got the text, I thought it was Tuesday night. But so it was born Wednesday morning, 2:30 in the morning, 8 pounds, 14 ounces, 22 inches long. And, you know, just everybody's healthy, mama, baby, everybody's doing good. Just so happy for Gray and Chrissy and beautiful
– Chrissy. That British name in there, huh?
Yeah, both of them. He sounds like a James Bond character, you know. So it definitely got the British name, and just happier, man. I got a great picture of my son carrying his car seat with his son out of the hospital, and that's a surreal kind of thing to see as a father and now a grandfather. So I can't wait to get down and meet the little guy. And it's going to be a little while with our season, but that'll be all right. We'll let them get all the kinks out. They don't need me bothering them right now. But, you know, just so proud and happy for them, certainly. Thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah. Two of the best people you could ever meet, too, because congratulations to Gray and Chrissy. Congratulations to you, Finny. That's all just awesome.
Yeah, super happy about it. Thanks, y'all.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Finny. I'll definitely see you Wednesday in Richmond and this weekend for the UConn. So hope you have a great week and see you soon.
All right, man. Go Monarchs. Thanks, guys.
Go Monarchs. Thanks, man.
The Old Dominion Athletic Foundation, or commonly referred to as the ODAF, was established in 1964 as a nonprofit organization. The mission of the ODAF is to raise financial support for ODU athletics to ensure that our coaches and student athletes have the resources necessary to compete for championships. The ODAF is integral to the success of ODU Athletics and is the channel through which our fans and alumni can partner with our coaches and student athletes for the advancement of the athletics program. Through the generous efforts of our donors, loyal fan base, and community, the ODU alumni from around the globe, the ODAF raises money for student athletic scholarship support and endowments, capital projects, program-specific support, and athletic department operations. Funds are raised through annual giving, multi-year pledges, events, premium seating, and planned giving. With questions about how to get involved in one or more of these initiatives, reach out to an ODAF representative. Gifts to the ODAF are investments in the lives of our student athletes. ODAF members receive exclusive benefits such as priority points for postseason and away game seating, parking, VIP, and hospitality experiences, and more. Because of you, we create winners in the classroom, in athletic competition, and in life. Contact the ODAF and become a member today.
All right, Monarch fans, welcome back to Hudson Homers. No player guest this week. We're going to give the guys a little bit of a break here. But CB and I have some items to tie up. And one thing I wanted to talk about from Sunday was Bark at the Park. There were at least a dozen dogs there, and you could hear them the entire game. It was actually pretty fun.
They were doing some sound effects. I do know that, but they were not all sound. Because I was over there by the booth a couple times. They're like, was that us? They're like, nope, that was just a very loud chihuahua.
Yeah, a bunch of golden retrievers running around. I know some of the parents brought their dogs. Whenever they played the barking sound effect from the scoreboard, that's when all the dogs went nuts. And I've been some places they'll do the doorbell ring or the ring camera ring to get them fired up. But they were getting loud there, at least towards the end, trying to rally the guys back.
Yeah. That's always a neat thing. I think it's cool that stadiums figured out. I mean, way back in the day of the Bud, they just let dogs in all the time. And so you'd regularly see dogs at the games constantly. For all kinds of reasons, it probably is better that's not a thing. I'm sure there's all kinds of liability and stuff. You know, I love dogs. Most dogs are fine, but things do happen with people. In general, I would just like, why can't you? But whatever. But yeah, it's cool. A lot of teams, even the Ties even had a cat day, which I thought was interesting.
No, that's a little more dangerous. Yeah. You have cats all over the place there.
Yeah.
I went to a minor league hockey game in Jacksonville, and you could bring your dogs to that. So we brought our golden retriever. They had like two sections in one of the corners there you could sit. And my dog was just constantly watching where the puck was going and trying to figure out what all the noise was. But it got a little loud in there because there were probably, you know, a couple hundred dogs out there in Jacksonville at that game.
You're indoors too.
Yeah. And you got a puck that all the dogs are watching through the glass going by.
Yeah. I brought our dog that passed away last year, Maddie, took her to ODU, I think at least twice to Bark in the Park games, took her to Ties games a couple times. It was one of those where she got, you know, pretty overstimulated. And then by like the fourth inning, she's just like laying there with my legs asleep.
Yeah. Felt worn out.
The current dog that my parents have, Daisy, she's only like four, I think about to be five, and she's still too amped up to do it. A couple more years, she might be able to go, but she'd still be way too insane to take out doing something like that.
Yeah, get them calm down a little bit. Saturday night at the ballpark, it's Military Appreciation Night, first responders and service members as well. So I love that the promotions are coming back, the nice side of being able to play games at home. And seriously, if you haven't been out to an ODU baseball game yet, make plans to come this weekend. The weather's going to be nice. It's, great opponent coming in. I mean, it's going to be a good time at the Bud.
It should be packed. There's no excuse not to pack the place this week. I mean, Friday, obviously, 2:00. I mean, I got to take off so I can go in the afternoon. You know, so I understand if you can't make that one. But Saturday and Sunday, there's no real excuse. I don't think there's any other. The only other game happening at home is Friday night, I think, or Saturday night. One of those is lacrosse is playing. So it's nights at 7:00. So they're not even like overlapping. And it's just going to be amazing weather. So this is a really good weekend to come out and see some ODU baseball. It's not going to be too super hot. You know, it'll be really nice. When it sounds like we're going to have a band playing before the game. I think he said Saturday. And then having the military appreciation too. I mean, it's a good weekend to pack out the place. And we know it doesn't take a ton. I mean, 1,000 people are going to pack the joint out. So,
yeah, you'll be fighting for seats if you get there after first pitch, I think, on Saturday. I finally got smart, which I know that's hard to believe considering I couldn't count how many games are left until we play Troy. But I'm actually going to come down Thursday night and stay in a hotel in Norfolk. So that way I don't have to fight tunnel traffic like I have the last several Fridays of trying to get down there and basically walk in as first pitch is being thrown. So make plans. Get out there. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Plenty of stuff going on around Norfolk, too. So if you haven't been, you should. And before we get to Players of the Week, there's one other thing I want to talk about because you got some great shots of this. I didn't see the collision at second base with Maverick. And then I looked at your handy-dandy Google Drive link that you sent me and realized that the reason he went down is he got pretty much just straight cleated in the shin and into his knee as he's trying to make the turn there.
One, I think, between the two of those that where he's like, you can almost see his leg kind of going in and then he gets back for a second here. It's kind of like, hey, I got to make the play, which tells you again how tough Maverick is. That's one thing I don't think anybody's ever going to question that he's a tough dude and he's about the job.
Yeah. He was tough and love that he stayed in the game. I don't think this is intentional by any means. It's not what I'm getting at here, but little things like this are why Will and Mav get dinged up throughout the year in addition to trying to chase those weird fly balls in the wind. So I think we've just been lucky to have, you know, Van Alstyne. This is obviously an injury we're going to miss. You know, Scotty's a little banged up, but as he was showing us, it seems like he's going to be okay here in the next week or so.
There's and there's a if you're down there walking around, which as you and I are walking around the dugout talking to the guy, there's all kinds of little dings and things, and you guys come in the dugout, you high five, and like, oh, I didn't realize he had his hand all wrapped up, you know. And there's always a million little things, and because it is, it's a sport, and it's and they play a lot more. I mean, we know like football guys get banged up, right? They play 12 games. ODU, we're in our third week. We're gonna have more than 12 games. Here in the season, they haven't even got to conference yet. You know, basketball play, where they play like 20, 30 games, and we're going to hit that. Well, baseball just plays more games more often than other sports. They get banged up. It's a lot. It's a lot on the body. I know these kids are all 18 to 20, I don't know, 7 years, how old they are now.
Depending on what team you're with now.
No, Jim Wilkerson. We had Jim Wilkerson at one point. He was like 27 when he played here, former Marine. But we, you know, it's – you get banged up. So, yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes, you know, why isn't a guy doing as well? Well, he might be hurting in a way you don't realize, and he's really gutting it out. Yeah. That's certainly happened before where some guys have had their seasons kind of derailed by things. Kyle Battle's a great example of when he finally had that great senior year, fifth-year senior year, is because he finally felt healthy. I mean, his body was just crushed for years, and he got better. So it's not a – I mean, look at Tommy Bell. Tommy Bell's last season was pretty much derailed by a back injury. So yeah, little nicks and tears. It's not, you know, yeah. Like you said, pointed out Marcus having that, you know, very obvious, very huge injury. It takes him out for the whole year, but there's lots of other little things you just don't see all the time.
Yeah. And certainly wish him a speedy recovery. I was DMing back and forth with his dad during the week. So obviously want the best for him. I think he's trying to come back next year and play, and we'd love to love to see that for his last year. I end on a little better note than what it unfortunately was this season. I hope Zach Late got an ice bath, because not only was he, you know, hitting very well at the plate on Sunday, that's probably the most defensive plays he's made at first base in the game. It was like a joke. Every softball that was hit was going to Zach at first.
A lot of ball. Yeah, I haven't gotten to go through those pictures yet, but yeah, I got a lot of shots of him. You usually get a lot of pictures of first baseman fielding ground balls. Usually when they get them, it's like real fast. And he did. He had a lot of little soft ones, a lot of cool little different angles of the glove. So it was
he's getting his workout in over there. But speaking of Zach, you probably got the shot of the weekend with him celebrating his two-run shot there in the game on Sunday. We have our players of the week with Kellen and Zach.
Yeah, these are actually, if you recall, these were our players of the week for week one. And the hitting-wise, you know, we picked Zach. I think you could have easily had TJ Aiken or Tyler Zadalas or Maverick Stallings were all good options. But Zach, he was 4 for 10, had a double, a homer, 6 RBIs, 2 walks, scored 6 runs, got hit by a pitch. So I think just the filling up the stat sheet with everything is what kind of did it for us. As a TJ, 4 for 10, double, 3 walks, 5 runs, 2 steals. Zadalas was 4 for 8, had a double, an RBI, and a walk. Maverick was 5 for 10. So actually, you know, more hits, but 5 for 10, 2 doubles, 5 RBIs, 3 walks, 2 runs. So Maverick's off to all those guys are off to great starts. And Mac Dye was 3 for 9 with 2 RBIs, 2 runs, and hit by a pitch. So a lot of, you know, despite not getting any hits hardly at all in the Saturday game, we did have a lot of good offense throughout. You know, I think all those guys did have hits in that game anyway. And then Kellen, you know, came in again. It's so much easier for a starting pitcher to be pitcher of the week. So it's a big deal, I think, when relievers get it. But Kellen had 3 scoreless innings, finally got 5 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts. So a great performance when they needed it. I mean, that was only one of the reasons they had a chance to win that game on Sunday, is because of him. Jace Park came in right before him, 2 innings, no runs, 2 hits, no walks, a strikeout. So those guys throwing 5 scoreless at the end of that game has really made it plausible they could come back. Yeah. Ben Tanton, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say Patrick Johnson was key in that too. Like,
yeah,
he got a ground ball double play that should have ended the inning. You may have thrown a little bit low to second, but you know, we probably good chance we win that game because we keep a couple runs off the board. But he's throwing well. But Jace Park, 0.0 ERA, 0.71 WHIP, and 4 2/3 so far this year. Kellen Davis, 1.13 WHIP in 7 1/3 innings, no runs allowed. It's pretty damn good production out of 2 guys from the bullpen just right there. We've had some others throw the ball well this year.
Yeah, and a couple of freshmen that had good appearances with Ben Tanton and Chris Cavalcante Both had scoreless innings where they struck out all three they faced. I mean, that's pretty big deal when you're a young guy trying to make an impression. And then all the guys that pitched on Wednesday were great. Sheehy and Hubble and Sulpizio, Jack, they combined for seven scoreless. I mean, that was one of the things. I mean, you know, again, you don't ever want to say anything bad about Norfolk State. I do root for Norfolk State. I want to see them do well. I think it's we can all kind of be aware it's not really the same level of Division I baseball. So, you know, Old Dominion, when they play them, they should beat them. But I think when we saw that game on Wednesday, what it showed to me was that our pitching is better than last year, which, you know, obviously didn't show up in the game on Saturday. But when we went to – if you remember, we went to Norfolk State last year, we beat them, but it was 12-8. We walked a ton of guys. We gave a bunch of hits. Though they have really good hitters. This time, our guys went out and did their job and really threw strikes, as we said, stacking zeros. And, you know, got the dominating win that we should have gotten. And we play them in a couple weeks again, on the 18th, on a Wednesday here at ODU. So hopefully you do the exact same thing again. You know, you go out and you should do that to a team. But otherwise, I mean, I'm Norfolk State, great guys, great coaching staff now, a lot of good ball players. I hope they, you know, they had another rough weekend, but I hope they get some wins here, start moving things in the right direction for them.
I've got to go back through more schedules. I'm trying to remember the last time we shut someone out during a midweek. I know it was not last year, potentially the year before. But, you know, we played Norfolk State last year, played VCU last year. We had a lot of high-scoring midweek games and the few that we were able to win. So the fact that we're able to go, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th guy in the bullpen and complete a shutout on the road, that it's exactly what you're saying with how much better the pitching staff is this year. I think we just kind of get the bats together. I don't care how well you would have pitched on Saturday. We lost 13-0. Didn't get any runs on the board. So,
yeah, no, you're dead on. I mean, it's last year. That was certainly a problem. We got to where at a certain point in the year, midweeks, it was like, well, we're not going to win this because we're going to give up 15 runs today. It doesn't matter how many we score because we're just not pitching well enough. So, yeah, if you can have the entire staff throwing well, I mean, you don't have to shut anybody out, but if you're throwing out and having a good time, I'm just saying words.
Cole's catching up to you, my man.
I was like, yeah, that was having a seizure right there. no, but if you're going out and really competing well in the midweek, what it means is all your guys are competing well. And so, yeah, I do think it's a sign that we might have a better pitching staff than last year, which if you can, as you said, start getting the hits in the right spots, you really have something. Because I always say every year people ask how the team's going to be. It's like, well, how well are we going to pitch?
Yep, and that's the thing that typically carries you when you get down to Montgomery for the conference championship.
Yeah.
Like playing all those games, you've got to have arms.
Depth. Oh, yeah. It's nuts. That's usually what got us last year, right? I mean, we were down there, and we just got to a certain point where it's like, well, where's our arms? It got us the year before, too, at a certain point. The last time we won in 2021, we were still in the CUSA, is because we had an insanely deep pitching staff. Mm-hmm. We just had arms on top of arms on top of arms, and throughout the whole tournament – it was like, all right, we got this. Next guy up is going to come in and throw some zeros too. So that's what you got to do. And you have the potential. I mean, you can see it here with some of these young guys really have a lot of talent, and the guys we have that have been around have a lot of experience, and you see the potential for a very deep pitching staff here.
And we'll continue to see some adjustments in the lineup and in the positioning. I mean, we've had several different guys play right field this year. We've had a few subbing in and out of left. I do like that Finney left TJ in center, where he's super comfortable and he's a real plus defender for us there. And you know, you see Nick in left or F in left. We've got, you know, Zadalas has played right. I think Grayson Sparr played right a little bit. I mean, we've had some dudes go into right field and just kind of figuring out the offensive side of things. That was the first good pitching test I think we've had this year.
Yeah.
And I think it unveiled some things, and you're going to see even better pitching from UConn. But the good news is, like, we're not in conference play yet. It is fine to still be figuring that stuff out now. But TikTok, I mean, a week from Friday, we play Troy, and Troy's good. If you're looking around the league.
At Troy.
there's some good teams. I know Coastal's down their top two arms for at least a little while, but Southern Miss is a buzzsaw.
I bet Coastal's 3-4 are pretty good, though.
yeah. I mean, that's a little different world there. But you need that kind of stuff to get through, as everything you're doing now is to get ready for conference play.
Yeah. And that's what you want to do. You want to go out and compete and win. And we've seen, I was saying this the other day, we were having a conversation, one of our text threads, that, you know, if you're number two or number three in the Sun Belt, you probably are going to the NCAA tournament. So mm-hmm. you want to be one of those teams. You know, they very clearly picked the start of the year. They said the 1-2-3 was whatever order you want to put them in, Troy and Coastal and Southern Miss. Well, you want to elbow your way in there and say, no, it's us. We're one of those three. And so then maybe we become a four bid league. I don't know, but whatever it is, you want to be one of those top three, because the top three seem to be pretty cemented that they're getting an invite to the tournament.
And we play all three of them this year. We got no relief across the Sun Belt for us.
But you got your opportunity. That's really what it's relief, but it's also it's your opportunity. You go out and you show you're as good or better than them, and ideally better.
Yeah, I feel like the Sun Belt for baseball is backwards of the way we maybe think of like college basketball, or even historically for ODU baseball, where you can't really earn the at-large bid in your non-conference play. You can actually earn it through conference play by being second or third in the Sun Belt. You know, UConn got off to a rotten start this season. Otherwise, they'd probably be ranked right now. So that would be really great to go and get a series win over a ranked team. We dropped two to Charlotte. I'm not going to be shocked if Charlotte goes and wins the American. Yeah. I mean, if you watch, they had, 6'6", 6'7", hitting the ball hard. They got a ton of arms out there. Yeah. They are a loaded up team and going to be a dangerous one to watch.
And we still got opportunities against UVA and ECU, who are always good and always up there, if not ranked, close to being ranked. So there are a lot of opportunities, like you said, inside the conference and outside the conference to show you belong in those conversations at the end of the year. And you see the potential, you see the personnel to make it happen. It's just up to these guys going out and taking advantage of their abilities and taking advantage of the competition and rising to it.
Finney mentioned it earlier, the defensive side of things. We've made quite a few errors this year. Mm-hmm. We've got to clean those up. I mean, you can trace back the number of runs we gave up there on that Sunday game. We'd probably win if we just had some cleaner defense. That'll come with time, hopefully a little bit drier field and nicer weather this weekend too, so we don't have to worry about that. But I'm excited to get over to the Diamond on Wednesday. I'm going to bring my own food and drink. I'm not kidding. They're not selling concessions in there. There's a Wawa across the street, a Cane's, or some other stuff. If you get down there early, go into Scott's Edition, go to Boulevard Burgers and Brews. That's a good spot. But yeah, no concessions there. However, this weekend, great concession set up out there in left center. Plenty of good place to hang out, good food, all that fun stuff. So just hope to see you at some point here this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to you, because you're going to be at all four games this week just like me, right?
That is the plan. I'm even going to get down there at night early, so my commute is just a walk down 43rd, potentially from that hotel, or – you know, a quick ride down from downtown.
And a great day to walk, unlike some of these other ones.
Yeah, that's usually the best day to be on campus. When the first 70-degree day in March, it's a party out there normally.
Yeah, it's a good time. All right, well, hopefully it'll be a party because we got a nice little 4-0 week in beautiful weather.
Oh, I'd be celebrating that just about as hard as I possibly could on Sunday, I think, if we get to 4-0. But let's just go 1-0 against VCU. Let's close out the diamond with a win there, and we'll worry about UConn on Friday.
Yep. All right. Well, sounds good here.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on the Hudson Homer socials. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.